Right. Good morning, church. I'm very thankful you're here today. I'm excited to be preaching. This is one of my favorite moments all week long. I love getting to preach. I love getting to be with you. This is a wonderful opportunity to be together in community. And I just want to welcome you. If you're new here, thank you so much for coming today. I really pray that you hear from God today, that you get to experience what is true and authentic Christian community. I really pray that that's the case today. I want to begin today by just a little bit of prayer time. I don't do it this way every week, but it was kind of a difficult week in a lot of ways, and I'm sure maybe some of you are feeling almost exhausted by the week and all the media and all of that, but I just wanted to spend a few moments just praying for us and for our nation. This was a tough week. There was a tragic shooting in Colorado. I'm sure you know about it. There was a brutal murder of this young lady, your young Ukrainian lady, right in our very state, right in Charlotte, and then this shocking assassination of Charlie Kirk while he was there in Utah at a university. There was probably umpteen other things that happened this week that you may know about, and it kind of seems this way lately. No matter what, every week there's something to consider and pray about, and it may have got you worried. I don't know. You may have various feelings about it, but here's what I know. As followers of Christ, we have hope. We have authentic hope. We have the place of real hope and truth, and we should grieve with those who grieve, but more than that, we should pray for those who are bereaving, that we should pray for the wounded. We should shine light. That's our main responsibility, is to be a light in darkness, and there are dark times in our past, in our present, in our future. We should shine light in those moments, and so the gospel of Christ's love and his life is made known through us, and we are to be a light wherever we go. So let me just spend a few moments in prayer, and then we're going to dig in. We're in a series on spiritual habits, and we're going to dig right in on that. And so let's pray now. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would be with us this morning. Help us to be at peace in our minds, that we can receive a word from you. There are difficult times in our present, Lord, stuff we're watching online and on TV. We're seeing a lot of hurt, a lot of darkness, a lot of brokenness, and it's not necessarily unusual. It's unfortunately very common that this is what we watch. And Lord, I just want to lift up our nation to you. Would you please just protect our nation? Would you, more than that though, let us be a nation in revival, that the peace of Christ would be something people would experience in every place in this country. God, would you use us as your people to represent truth and joy and what it means to be Christ-like? Would you help us to represent that well? Would you encourage us where we need encouragement? Some have come in today and they're simply just exhausted from a difficult week of work, or maybe hardship in their own family. I just pray for them right now that you would lift their spirits and help them to hear from you today. Encourage us in your word. We're here to see and get to know you better. Show up in a mighty way, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to dig in now. We're in part 5 of a spiritual discipline, a spiritual habit study. If you've missed the first 4 weeks, it's okay. You can go back and check those out. But you haven't missed anything that's going to like mess you up for today, because every one of these kind of stands alone and can be a deep study for you. So this morning, we're digging in on this idea, this habit of Bible study. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, boy, this might be dry. Those of you who have attended for a while know that I don't typically do dry. I don't do that well, and so you're going to be okay. Don't worry. We're going to be talking about the spiritual discipline and habit of studying the Word of God, which might be one of the most important habits that you can place in your life and get us to be a part of your life. And so our series theme has been Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, where it says, "Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." So the goal, friends, is not that you would get everything right and do more out of your own strength, and that you're going to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and it's going to be all about you. That is not the nature of spiritual disciplines. The nature actually is to yield to the Spirit's work in your life, to yield your time to the Lord. It's less about do, 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 and yielding to the Spirit's power. So have a receptive heart. That verse says, let the Spirit change you, renew you. And this leads to a putting on. Dr. Whitney, in his book, Spiritual Disciplines of the Christian Life, says this: Spiritual disciplines are those practices found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth among believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are habits of devotion, habits of experiential Christianity that have been practiced by God's people since biblical times. So we're talking about some stuff, some discipline, some habits, if you will, that Christians have been doing for 2,000 years. And guess what? They've been working the whole time. It works when we allow the Lord to move in our lives and we yield to His work. It works every time. It may not look the way you expect, but it works every time. And so this idea of studying God's Word so that we might be filled and understand and know God better and hear His voice is maybe one of the most important things we can do in this life. Now, here's a couple of interesting statistics that I just wanted to throw at you. And this isn't to make you feel like ashamed or anything like this, because you may feel like, man, I would probably fit there too. That's not the point of me telling you. The point of this is that you would feel an encouragement, a challenge, if you will, to be in God's Word more so that you might hear His voice. And so a couple of polls that I read recently. This one's from Barna in a poll that he did called The State of the Church that company did. Only 11% of Americans say they read the Bible daily. 11%. That's not terribly surprising to me. About 34% read the Bible at least once a week. And so around a third of our nation reads maybe once a week. Roughly 50% of U.S. adults read the Bible fewer than two times a year, including never. So more than half of our country never reads it, or it's maybe once or twice. Maybe those people might be the kinds that are reading it around Christmas, or there might be times. And that might be you today, okay? This isn't to make you feel discouraged. I'm not going to call you out and take some kind of registry. Oh my goodness, I can't believe you're not reading your Bible. That's not what we're up to today. I just want you to feel the encouragement of the Lord Jesus that He wants to speak to you in your life. And this is His primary way of doing it. And when you make the decision, I'm not going to phone Him anymore. I'm not going to call in. I'm not going to hear His voice. It's a decision that hurts you. And I don't want that for you. I want what God wants, which is the best for you. And another survey we found among those who claim Christianity, in fact, only 45% could name all four Gospels. Could name all four Gospels. Only about 63% knew what the first book of the Bible was. That's surprising to me. That one's somewhat surprising. Only about 70% knew where Jesus was born. Now, I tell you these things because the fact is, biblical literacy is getting low. And that's all statistically, on the statistical side of things, but what really matters is, are God's people hearing God's voice? And this represents something a little bit concerning. So we're going to dig in together. What will happen to you if you begin starting small? If you have no habit of scripture reading, of Bible study, what would happen and what would that look like? We're going to dig in today in just a couple of verses, 2 Timothy chapter 3, a very famous text here. And we're going to see the Apostle Paul writing this letter to his son in the Lord, Timothy. And he charged him to remain faithful. Remain faithful to the study and the preaching and the practice of God's Word so that God's people might be thoroughly equipped. That's the goal of this text today. It's the goal for you too, that we can practice this habit of Bible study so that we would be equipped for, and the Bible is crazy here. It says you would be equipped for every good work. I've come to the conclusion that this is good for everything in life. It may not identify every single struggle you have, but there are principles here that will cover it. This thing's amazing. And the more I read it, the more I'm just baffled by how good God is and how much He has spoken. And so the text is going to give us, I think, three kind of building steps on how to practice a habit of Bible study. So let's read real quickly these two verses. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God bless the reading of His Word. Amen. I pray that this would really help you, encourage you, challenge you today right where God needs you to be. So how do we practice the habit of Bible study in a way that really moves us and changes us? The first way is this: listen. Wow, hard L, sorry. Listen. Read God's word as his life-transforming message to you. It begins in verse 16, where Paul says, all scripture is breathed out by God. That might just seem like a matter-of-fact kind of statement to you, but you know what that means? That means you make the decision, I agree. There's a decision point in your life where you have to say, yes, I agree, all scripture is the breath of God. It is his very wind, voice. This word here is the word theopneustos. The Holy Spirit is called pneuma. It's this word that means spirit, breath, wind. Here it's theopneustos, that is the spirit breath of God. And this is said of the scriptures. I find this really, really amazing because at this point where he's writing to Timothy, the Old Testament, those ancient scriptures are already out there. They're in distribution, and Timothy would be well aware of them. But what's beginning to be circulated are some of the Gospels, some of Paul's letters, but it's just getting started. And so what Timothy, I think, is, or what Paul is arguing for is, of course, my son Timothy, of course, the Old Testament is God's very word. This wouldn't have been surprising to Timothy. But I think he's reminding Timothy that there are writings coming out right now from the apostles that are the breath of God. And now, church, great news, we have the very voice of God. And if you want to hear it, you have to go here. This is where it is, the voice of God. So how do you listen? How do you tune in? Hearing the word of God and growing in faith are connected. Romans chapter 10, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The psalmist put it plainly. He was determined to study God's word and reflect. He says in Psalm 119, I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. Church, I hear this from time to time. People come to me and they say, I wish I could know God's will. I wish I could hear his voice. I'm going to go ahead and tell you the bad news. When you come to me with that, I promise you the first couple of things I'm going to say are going to be the same every time. And it might bother you. I'm sorry. I'm not going to change. Because these are the two most important things I could tell you to do. Have you prayed? Have you studied his word? I want to know what God thinks about me marrying or dating this girl. I want to know what God thinks about me taking this job. Have you prayed? Have you read? I'm not the voice of God. You know, when I get things best is when I take his word and speak it. That's when I nail it, is when I rightly understand the word of God and distribute it to you. And that's all I'm trying to do as a pastor, is to just be an accurate voice of the Lord. And the way that I do that is here. But you can you can bypass me. Did you know that? You can just, yeah, I like pastor and all, he's cool. Or maybe you don't think I'm cool. That's cool too. It's cool with me. But you can go right around me and go right to the source. I'm no mediator. Jesus is. He's your holy mediator. The Holy Spirit of God is in you and with you, helping you discern the scriptures. Be asking, Lord, I've got a big decision ahead of me. Would you help me to understand and go give me wisdom? Pray that and then study his word. And watch him begin to show up. And sometimes it looks wild. It's not what you expected, but it is what you need. Now, after you've gone through that and gone through all those motions, then come and seek help, you know. Come and see me. Come and see your brothers and sisters in the faith and say, hey, I'm praying. Hey, I'm reading. I think the Lord is saying this. Because certainly Scripture also says wisdom is found in the counsel of many. So it's okay to go and seek your brothers and sisters in the faith. But don't start there. That's step three, maybe. Seek the Lord there. Hear his voice. Some of you in the room, you've not heard God's voice in so long or maybe ever. I would challenge you, my friend. He speaks here. Some of you have never done this before. I'll give you some starting points, just some ideas. Don't start in Genesis and just start trying to work your way through. you're going to fall into a pit like everybody else does. It's somewhere around Leviticus or Numbers. Those are God's word. Listen to me. Those are the breath of God. They are difficult reads. And something you're going to want to read in this lifetime. I guarantee you you're going to want to, but maybe don't start there. It's kind of like when you enter kindergarten, you don't immediately get thrown a calculus book. Doesn't mean calculus is any less true or any less important. Maybe you just don't start there. And I know what y'all are all thinking. You're thinking, man, I'm itching to just get to the end because that book is spooky. I want to get to Revelation in that spooky book. Don't start there. In fact, you can't rightly understand Revelation until you understand a whole lot of the Bible, maybe all of it. There's a reason it's back there, because you need the prophets, and you need the Gospels, and you need all of that to rightly understand what's going on there. And even then, there's multiplicity of what this means among scholars. So friend, if you don't have a habit of hearing God's voice, you don't have a habit of being in the Word, start in what we call the Gospels. Maybe start, in fact, with the Gospel of John. Fourth book of the New Testament. I know some of you are OCD and you're thinking, why would I start? Trust me on this. These are 66 books inside of a larger volume. You're not messing anything up by starting there. Start in John. Feel free to start in Mark. I told some of my friends this week. Mark is a wonderful gospel because Mark is in a big hurry. Every couple of verses he says, and immediately, because it's like Mark feels the desire to get the gospel out. And he's just, I can see him feverishly penning it so that people would hear this truth of Jesus. Maybe start there, my friend, if you're listening, trying to hear the voice of God. I think from time to time about my loved ones who are with Jesus now. I don't know if that's a thing people start doing as time goes on. I think probably so. I think more and more about those who have gone on before me that I can't wait to see again there. And I do this thing that may be odd to you. At times, I try to remember what their voice sounded like. And the longer that people are gone, the more difficult that seems to be. You like love the opportunity to have a recording of something of them so that way you could hear it again. And so I think at times about my grandparents and my uncles and aunts and some of the people that are with Jesus now, and I think about their voice and trying to hear it. This kind of reminds me of something that I would just encourage you in God's word, that there are certain conversations that come to mind when I reflect on people that are already passed on. And I want to hear their voice again. I know you would feel this way too. I would give almost anything to get to see them and hear them. Some of you may feel that. But at times I feel this way about the voice of God too, and to me that's shameful. The reason being is God's not silent, God's not dead, he's not inactive. And so when I feel similarly like this desire, this urgency to hear his voice, and yet I don't go to where he's speaking, is really, really strange. But I'm just like you, friends. I may want something, but then not be willing to do the work it takes to hear it. Isn't that wild? But that's where so many of us are. What would it look like to begin a habit of study where you set aside time every single day to hear God's voice, to read his word, to study his scripture? Maybe start with a reading plan. This can be very helpful to you. Find a good reading plan that begins to break it down into chunks so that you can hear God's voice. And be in prayer as you start it. Lord, open up my ears. Help me to hear your voice today. Speak to me through your spirit, through the word. Join the one-year Bible readers. We've got a Facebook group. You can hop on there and see where we're at. And my dad, he's the pastor at our Wilson campus. Every day he posts something about his one-year Bible study. And you can kind of see where our church is heading, those involved in that. Pick a plan. Get into his word. If you're desperate like I'm desperate to hear his voice, I bet you can find 5 minutes tomorrow. I bet you can find 5 minutes today. Talk to me after church if you're like, I don't have 5 minutes. Me and you are going to look at your schedule. We're going to figure this out because this is insane. Like, you can't find 5 minutes? And that's a good starting point, right? I bet you could find 5 minutes in the shower even. Some of you are showering longer than five. Maybe take that little device in your phone put some scripture on. I know you were laughing. I'm praying you're showering more than five, most of you. But I got short hair. I can knock things out real fast, all right? But you can put that. It's amazing the power that we have at our fingertips. We can literally listen to God's word while we take a hot shower. Wonderful. I bet your day will start different too. This habit you have right now of starting your day with rap music or whatever else, and that's not the point of the message, stop rap music. That's, if you know me, that's not my plan here. But maybe there's a better way that starts you with a day of peace rather than a day of angst. Because I like that stuff too, but it makes me feel like I want to punch somebody. And unless I'm about to put a helmet on and start playing football again, which I'm not. Only in my dreams do I get to do that anymore. And so now I start my day with the Lord Jesus, and I find that I'm a little bit more at peace. It's easier to smile. I'm just saying. Begin with studying the Lord, studying His Word. And then next, the next step is learn. Listen, learn. Learn has to do with not only hearing it, absorbing it, but also applying it. Apply God's word to guide and to shape how you think and you act. Have y'all made the determination that what Paul says here is true? He says, not only is all scripture breathed out by God, it's his very voice, but it is profitable for all good works, every good work. He says it's profitable in four specific ways: for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training. This is a decision point that I've made some years ago, that God's word is what is best for me. What it says is better than what I think. Sometimes my thoughts are not God's thoughts. Sometimes the way I want to operate, the way I think a thing should go, is not what Scripture teaches. And I've made the decision, my way is not the right way, unless it aligns with God's way. I try to say often what Christ said in Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. When God's word says go right and I think left, I say, well, I've got to be wrong. Have you made that decision yet? To learn and apply and let the word of God be profitable in your life. It is not profitable until you apply it. It's just knowledge. The Bible says knowledge puffs up. When you begin to apply it, all of a sudden there's great profit. First, in teaching, this is the idea of instruction or even doctrine. This is the idea that Christians ought to get their worldview from the Bible. I would say this is another area in life where things have really changed over the last 100 years, if you will, where what was once a pretty common thing to have a biblical worldview. That is, you look at the culture, you look at the world, you look at your marriage, you look at your parenting, you look at the way you work through the perspective of God's word. Now it seems there are many options, many ways to look, many lenses, many glasses to put on to see your world. But nothing has changed in the truth and validity of this. I've made the decision, this is my lens. I see the world through it. And make that determination. So that's first. It says it's profitable for your teaching, for your doctrine. Then it's also profitable for reproof. This word is translated in some of your, if you've got an NIV or anything like that today, it's translated rebuke. That means it's a good tool to show proof, to show evidence to the contrary. There are times in your life where you have to help others through this lens. And this, if you come and see me for counseling of any kind, just know this is what you're going to get. I'm not particularly gifted at all the various counseling methodologies. And just so you know, there's a lot out there. And I've studied some of them. People have whole degrees focused on that. That's good. But mine is Bible first approach. And then I'll try to implement some other things that seem to align well with it. And so he says it's good for reproof, it's good for evidence, it's good for rebuke even. It does that first in me. Paul's telling his son in the Lord here, the one who he's led to Christ and been a part of discipling, or not led to Christ. I think Timothy came to Christ before, but he's been the main mentor to Timothy. He's telling him, he says, let the word of God rebuke you first. This is the humbling thing about getting to preach is, and I say this a lot, but it is really true. I get my toes stomped on first. Sometimes I walk out here and you're like, boy, that one kind of stung. Like, that wasn't very nice, Jonathan. I'm like, it hurt me worse. So I gave you a watered down version of what slapped me. It's rebuke for me first. I read it and go, I'm not hearing the voice of God either because I'm not there. I'm not taking enough time. I'm so incredibly desiring to hear from God and let him lead my life. And yet I go all over the place rather than the source. I'm just like you. And it rebukes me first. And then he says, but it's useful for correction, straightening out, to making something broken. This word has the word ortho in the middle of it. I'm normally better at this. It's got ortho in the middle. I'm not going to try it again. Greek word with ortho. Ortho has to do with the bones, a broken bone, if you will. We've got medicine all around that, surgeons all around. We've got some of those people in here. And they correct bones, right? That's their primary purpose. This is the idea of this word, correction, to straighten out. Sometimes you show up to God's word and something is just straight up broken with you. Those are moments where you look at it and you have to make a decision, and it's a hard one. Yeah, but God, I like the way I've been doing this. I like the way I'm dealing with my finances. I like the way I'm dealing with my marriage. It's comfortable for me. Yeah, but God, I yell at my kids because my parents yelled at me and their parents yelled at them. We are a family of yellers. And then I come to this and it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Okay, what does that mean? I come to these passages in Scripture that say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Yeah, but when I get home from a long day at work, I don't want to serve anymore. When she says, take out the trash, it makes me want to just, only thing I want to do is hide somewhere. I have good news for you, friend. I'm right there with you. You hear this, wives, you hear this, submit to your husband. You're like, ah! You hear children, obey your parents. You don't know my parents. Comes like a broken bone. You come there with everything is out of whack and you make the decision, and I make the decision sometimes, I'm going to go on with it. I got a limp, but who cares? You know, something's way out of whack with me, but I'm just going to keep going because what God's word just told me to do, I just don't want to. So you live out of alignment, not only with God, but with your life, with your purpose. There's a better way. There's a better way, and it's God's way. And you make the decision, I'm going to let it correct me. I'm going to let it straighten me out. And then lastly, it says it's good for training in righteousness. This word here is the word paideia. Some of you are teachers. You took a class probably called pedagogy when you were in school. That's the idea of teaching children. That's the word Paul uses here, paideia, which means the education of the young, including the training of the body. So here he's saying to all believers, and first to Timothy, let it train you in what? Righteousness. That is integrity, virtue, purity. You want to know what right looks like? Find it here. But it comes through studying of his word. So study it that you might rightly apply it. He has already said to Timothy just a few verses before this, in verse 15, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need this in your life so that when you look at life situations, you have a biblical worldview, that the first thing that comes to mind is a scripture. That when you're having a difficult time with your spouse or with your kids or with your coworker, the first thing that comes to mind is the Word of God. I promise you that is way better to come to mind than what else could be there. When the first thing that comes to mind when I'm looking at my wife sometimes and we're not quite seeing eye to eye, the first thing that comes to mind is love her as Christ loved the church. First, I want to be mad at God. I'm going to be honest. First, I go, you hear her too, right? Like, and it's not even that she's wrong. It's not, I don't know how it's going in your house, but the confrontations aren't very often about right and wrong. Not in my house. They're more often about opinions. They're more often about this way could work, this way could work. There's a good way and then there's a great way. And I'm a pain, y'all. I'm a pain because I want the great. And I have to cipher through what I'm hearing from her and go, you know what? I think you're right. But I'm not that kind of guy to just yes. I'm just not that tired. I'm not that exhausted that I'm not going to fight. You know? I'm like, man, this pastor's jacked up. I'm not coming back. I don't blame you for that at all. But when God's word comes to me, love her as I loved you, I go, okay, then God help me to hear her and not get frustrated, calm my spirit. Y'all know I pray mid-conversation all the time. I've told some of y'all this. And some of y'all really push my buttons sometimes, but she does the best at it. And mid-conversation, I'm like, God, help me. Give me peace. Give me wisdom to say what's right. But that doesn't happen, friends, if the Word of God is not in you, if the voice of God is not there. And the only way to get there is to spend time in it. This is why the psalmist says in Psalm 119:11, he says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have so filled myself that when I am tempted to sin, instead the wellspring of the word of God comes up. I begin to just be filled with it. And you don't just listen to it, but you obey it. Tony, I know I just skipped this on you. I'm coming back to you, brother. James chapter 1, it says, don't just listen to God's word, also do what it says, otherwise you are only fooling yourselves. So guess what else? This stuff starts coming up, it comes to mind, love your wife. Hey, fathers, don't exasperate your kids. That means sometimes, you know what, I got to admit, sometimes my kids are annoying. I don't know about yours. Yours are probably heaven on earth. I know they are. But I didn't get that. Mine are difficult sometimes, and the older they get easier in some ways, but then they argue more, and they start actually thinking thoughts that are contrary to even anything that makes any sense. They're trying to figure it out, and they get strong in their positions as time goes on. And I can tell you, it's in those moments I really want to exasperate. It's in those moments where I'm like, okay, do y'all want to play a mental battle? Well, I can play a mental battle. Y'all want to argue? I can do that. I like a good debate. Let's debate whether the sky is blue, and that's what a kid will do. They just want to annoy you sometimes, okay? Guess what you have to do? Parents in the room, guess what you have to do? I hate to say it to you. You have to be the adult in the room. You have to be the person who says, yeah, you're not gonna speak to me like that because we're just talking in circles. I love you. I've told you to do A. The response I want to hear is, in my house, yes, sir. For you, hey, whatever, however that breaks down, yes. But it better be yes. Even in your house, it better be yes with a pleasance. Because you know the difference. Shh, okay. That's not it. I'll say, turn around, come back. Try again. Yes, sir. I know they're still ticked inside. I know their eyes are rolling internally somehow. But I'm not going to observe it. Because we're going to teach respect and honor so that this kid will grow up to respect and honor. And that's one of the most important things I can teach them. It's not just that, hey, he went and washed the dishes when I told him to do it. It's that he learned to respect, honor, and obedience, which he will need in this life. That is the most promotable person you will ever meet. Someone who shows up, does the work respectfully, honorably, obediently. You think, oh, you want to know how to fast track somebody in any business? Teach them how to be an honorable person. And then, even more importantly, by teaching them that, now I've taught them how to honor, obey, and respect their Heavenly Father, who I represent. Mothers, you represent the Lord to your kids. So then those verses come to mind in the midst of arguments. It has to be in you to train you into righteousness. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Psalm 1, it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law, on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Apparently there are some people, I've been running into people lately that do something that I find so unnerving, I don't know what to do about it, all right? Just follow me for a second. There are some of you in the room like this. Just know that I love you, but I do not understand you. You get a box or something from IKEA, or you get something like that to fix something in your house or build something in your house, and there are some of you in the room that open up the box and just start building it. And you hurt me inside. You just start going at it. You don't lay it all out. You don't read through the instructions first and go, okay, I know where everything's going. You just start building. And there's parts left over at the end. And we never notice when we come over because you figured out some way to jimmy rig the thing so no one ever notices. But you hurt me inside. I just want you to know that. Because you can call this obsessive compulsive. You can call it whatever you want. I'm getting everything out and laying it all out. And first step one is, do I actually have everything that I'm supposed to have here? Because guess what? They mess that up sometimes. And so then I get through the instructions and go, well, I've got to bring a little bit of my own hardware here because apparently IKEA or whoever, Amazon, whoever, they forgot some stuff. Like, praise God, this is going to be fun. But I'm reading through it. And I guess what else I do? I go through the instructions where they tell me to. This isn't an opportunity for me to just decide, I'm going to do it my way because I didn't invent this thing. I grew up on Legos, y'all. I know how to do this. I follow the instructions. And good news to y'all, hey, Lego fans in the room, I have never been missing a piece in a Lego. Never. It's the greatest company on earth when it comes to making sure you get what you're supposed to get. I've never been missed. They send you extra. I can build other stuff with this. Lego's incredible. Some of you are living life like this. You're going to wake up tomorrow. You're going to step out into the world and go, I'm just going to do things. I haven't read the instructions. I probably don't even have the right parts today. I'm just going to start making this crazy life piece of furniture today. And then at the end of the day, if I'm debriefing myself, go, I'm not sure why I yelled at her today. I'm not sure why it is I had so much road rage today. I'm not sure why I didn't get along with my spouse today, why I was having difficulty with my kids today. But it would be helpful if you would look back and go, wait a minute, I just built another piece of furniture without the instructions. Does this make sense to you? Like, that was kind of a long illustration, all right? You're doing life as if you're just building things and nothing else matters, as if you designed it, as if you're in charge. My friend, I have terrible news for you today. You are not in charge. You can make decisions all day, every single hour of every day, but you have no ability to change the real reality. There is stuff happening around you every single day that you cannot affect. You can't control the weather. You might wake up tomorrow and go, I can't wait for a sunny day. And God just says, here's some rain. You know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to be at peace on the way to work. I don't care what happens. And then, bam, somebody forgets to put their turn signal on, or somebody just busts out right in front of you and decides to show you some unfriendly hand signals. You're like, you did it, bro. Why are you mad at me? I'm going to be at peace tomorrow. Good luck. You want a peace that transcends understanding? It's here. It's here. The instruction manual's here. You want to know how to unpack Monday, September 15th? It's here. Quit going through life just trying to build it without the instructions. It's insane. Don't just read the Bible, apply it. Each time you study it, ask, what is it teaching me about God? What is it teaching me about me? What should I start? What should I stop? What should I continue doing? Keep a journal, especially when you first get started, because it's going to be mind-blowing what God does in your life over the next year. The more you study this, how it changes your life, I promise you. I want to pop up a method that, this is for those in the room that maybe this idea is new to you. You're already waking up every single day, I pray, and using soap, okay? Again, back to the shower illustration. If you're doing 5 minutes and not using soap, I don't know what are you doing in there? But when it comes to scripture, this is a good way perhaps to get started. Some of you have got great habits. You've already got a really quality devotional life. This isn't really for you necessarily, but it could be a good reminder if things get stale, if you just need some help. But for those of you who are new to the act, think of the word soap. It's an acronym. Start with scripture. And then make observations about that scripture. What is Christ saying? What is God like? What is he telling me? Who is he correcting in this? And then apply it. Today, I'm going to take what I've heard. So today, if we were doing soap just on this verse, I'm going to make the decision that scripture is the very breath of God and I'm hungry for it. And I'm going to let it correct me where I need correction. I'm going to let it train me. Those are applications. And then I move into prayer. It's simple. You can knock this out in 5 to 10 minutes. You have time for that. You absolutely do. If you don't right now, you need more margin, my friend, way more. Don't just read it. Apply it. And then lastly, and I don't know where I had too much fun, y'all. I got to end. Lastly, live. So listen, learn, and live. Remain in God's word to be equipped for every good work. He ends this verse 17, by saying that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Man of God here is designated for Christians generally. It's not just me or some special. No, it's meant for all believers who are striving with the Master's help to live a life that's pleasing to God. So if that's you, my friend, I just want to walk with Jesus. If that's you, this is who this verse is for. All Christians who are seeking by faith the Lord Jesus. He says that you would be complete, equipped for every good work. The word here, complete, is the only time that this word appears in the entire Bible. There's a famous word that you see throughout the whole New Testament which has to do with completion or perfection. It's the word teleos. It's what Jesus says on the cross. It is finished, tetelestai, he says. But that's not the word here. It's the word I expected when I was doing my study. Instead, it's the word artios, the only time it appears in Scripture, and it means the idea of being fit, being strong enough, being complete in the sense of, I have enough power to bear the weight. Paul is saying to Timothy, and now to you and I pray, O man of God, O woman of God, that you would so be enamored with the word of God and be in it, that you are fit for service. He's essentially saying, some of y'all aren't working out in the word of God, and it shows. It's time to start getting in there and pressing the weight so that you're ready, what? Equipped for every good work. This word good, this is the idea of useful, goodness. We're to live on God's word in such a way that it's exercising our faith. That's what he's speaking to. The word complete here isn't meant for you to go, well, at some point I'm going to be perfect. Not in this life. One day Christ will take us home and then we'll experience that. In this life, it's, I'm going to keep pressing so that I'm ready for tomorrow. I'm going to keep pressing because I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to be ready because of the Word of God is in me thoroughly. Jesus said that we are to live on God's Word. Matthew chapter 4, he writes this, or answers some who were questioning them. He says, it is written that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is our spiritual food, is the voice of God through his word. The habit of Bible study is a way of working out what God is working in us. In Philippians it says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. I want to end with this thought. When you lift weights, something happens. And this is the illustration that Paul chose to share with Timothy here, so I want to keep digging on it. When you lift weights, when you do strenuous activity, what's interesting there, especially when you lift weights, is you're actually creating tiny tears in the fibers. In a sense, when you first lift, you're actually weaker in a way. Certainly, you're more tired. You feel that lactic acid sometimes, and you know, if you want to beat up a strong man, wait right after he's done an intense workout. Maybe you might have a shot, you know. At first, the muscles are actually a little bit weaker, but this is the miracle of God's design of us, in that through rest and recovery, the body repairs those fibers, making them thicker, making them stronger. It does this with a well-set bone. Even if you break it and get it reset properly, the bone then will actually come back denser in that place. I'm not sure that's always a good thing, but the body is fascinating in how it repairs itself. So guess what? The work that's being done to make you strong when you work out is actually happening when you're doing nothing. The body does this. You do the workout, sure, but the body is the one through rest and recovery that repairs and the body adapts. The same is true with you spiritually. This is why Paul, I think, uses these illustrations so often, these gym kind of weight training, running. These are some of his favorite illustrations. It's because when we study God's word, at first, it hurts. Just like a hard workout. You feel weak afterwards. I don't know if you've ever done a solid leg workout. I have walked out of the YMCA. I can't say anything today, y'all. Pray for me. I've walked out of the Y here in Rocky Mount like this. You ever walked out of a gym like that? You haven't had a good leg workout yet then. Trust me, you get a good one in. I'm thankful for those rails down the steps, because I've literally been going down the stairs like, oh gosh. And this is what God's word does to you sometimes. It does it to me. Sometimes I read it and go, whoa, I don't know about that, Lord. I don't know if it stretches, it convicts, it tears down strongholds. It tears down wrong ways of thinking and living. But the more we remain in it and apply it and live in it, we grow stronger. We begin to see things as God sees them. It equips us, not instantaneously, but over time, to be complete in Christ and to be ready for every good work. It's like this, friends. There are things out there that God has built you for and built you to do and is ready to prepare you to accomplish. But you have to come. Similar to last week, you have to come to me, all who are weary, and I'll give you rest. It's similar to that you have to come to him in his word and hear and listen and apply. And then the very things he's built you for, you'll be ready to do. Will you commit then to making the habit of Bible study a lifelong daily pursuit? Now, this isn't good news to you at all today, I imagine, what I'm about to tell you. You, to do this right, should have a Bible study every day for the rest of your life. Some of you who are like, I want to retire, you don't retire from this. You don't retire from your faith. In fact, friends, your faith only grows the more you spend time with him and the more urgency you feel for his mission. You don't retire from Bible study. So if you start it tomorrow, I have great news. I have great news. You get to do that every day till you die. And there's going to come a time where you realize, I wouldn't want it any other way. Because this is where I find the truth of who God is and what he desires in me and through me. We have some opportunities coming up. I want to give you some direct application. Perhaps you need some help. Perhaps it would be helpful to have someone as a mentor or discipler. I'm going through life on life. We call it life on life discipleship here at the church. Many of you have been through this now. There are many people in the room that actually need someone to disciple. They want to be the discipler this time. So if you're interested in learning what it means to study God's word, to apply it, and many, many more, it's a rich study. And I'm going through it with three people right now, and I'm having the best fun getting to know them and doing it. It's meant as just a starting point towards, hey, let's figure out how to do life together and under the inspiration of God's word and what all that means. But also you get to build a lifelong relationship that hopefully will bear much accountability and fruit. So maybe that's you today. You're thinking, I could use, to use the gym illustration again, I could use a personal trainer. I've got a lot of people in this church right now that have been through this that are itching for the opportunity to walk with you in this. Also, this coming weekend, and this is free to everyone. I've had some people asking me about this. This is open to everyone. We have a workshop coming up this coming weekend at our Wilson campus. Me and Pastor Gary will be teaching it Friday night and Saturday morning, the 19th and 20th. That's coming up this weekend. The study's called How to Study and Teach the Bible. It'll be a blessing to everyone, and it's not only for those in the room who are looking to teach and preach, it's for anyone. So feel free to sign up for that. That's an opportunity, because the Bible isn't just another book, it's the very Word of God. So here's the call, here's the challenge to you today. Would you listen? Would you take time to hear it? Would you take time to be there so that you could hear the voice of God and then begin to apply it to your life and live it out and let the inspiration of God's word bear fruit in the way that you are equipped for every good work? Let's pray now together, church. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would encourage us when we come to you in Bible study. I pray for that person today who has maybe never had a habit like this in their life. Perhaps this is not the way they grew up. This is all fairly foreign to them. I pray that they'll take a chance tonight before they go to bed, tomorrow before they get their day going, that the first thing they would do when they wake up tomorrow is, okay, I'm going to look. I'm going to check out John chapter 1. I'm going to go somewhere, and hopefully God will speak. God, I'm asking boldly right now, would you show up in a mighty way? It's up to you. You are a good God and you love us and you're going to act according to your purpose. But I just pray boldly, Lord, would you speak in a mighty way to someone this week who's just trying to get started? I pray that they would hear your voice in a powerful way through the words on these pages, that it would move them and stir them. I pray for those faithful in the room, that more and more they would let the words of God just apply in every way, that they would make the determination as you once made, Lord Jesus, not my will but yours be done, that we would do this as a church. We would read your words, study it, and go, whatever you say, God, is where I go. Whatever you say, Lord Jesus, is where I move. You tell me to change this, I change it. God, would you give us the power to do that? Encourage us in it. Help us to see the fruit in it. Help us to be husbands and wives according to your word and not just according to the world and whatever we feel, but according to truth. Help us to parent our children in such a way that it would raise them up, as you say in your word, in the admonition of the Lord, that they would come to know you at an early age because of us and the way we parent. Help us to teach them honor and respect and obedience to a Heavenly Father, which we first put on display in the way we honor, respect, and obey you ourselves. Help us to be lights in dark places, in the places we work, in our communities. Help us to represent you well, because we're regularly hearing your voice and moving according to your purpose. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are to us, that you speak to us this way. You are an active God. You didn't just put things into motion and walk away. No, you are at work in this world right now and active in my life. Amazing to me. Who am I? One among billions, and yet you speak to me too. Thank you for who you are to us. We worship you this morning. We're so thankful for all that you've done for us in salvation and through your word. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.